You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Every once in a while, a woman comes along who doesn't just run a business, but builds a movement. A brand that feels like home, a message that speaks to generations, and a mission so clear it echoes long after she leaves the room. Tonight's guest is one of those women. Dr. Hajo Muralane is the fierce and visionary founder behind, and I told you earlier, I don't know whether it's Hefro or Hofro, but we'll get to that. A natural beauty brand, a proud African brand that celebrates the crown we wear, or the crown we were born with. But that's only one part of the story. She's also the mind behind Aptic Entrepreneurship Training Platform and the author of The Why in Entrepreneurship, a powerful guide that invites us to interrogate our why before we chase the how. She's a thinker, a builder, a nurturer of both natural hair and bold dreams. And tonight we get the honor of stepping into her world. So whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey or trying to find your voice again in the middle of the chaos, this conversation is for you. Because when Dr. Hajo speaks, entrepreneurs listen, brands bloom, and purpose gets its permission to grow. So let's start the conversation. Hello, Doc.
You, Mpumi. My ego is inflated.
Is it not true, though? Is this not you?
Oh, thank you for a warm welcome. It's good to hear other people talk about you.
It's always amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. But thank you so much. What a beautiful... I'm feeling myself.
That's exactly what we need. That's exactly how you want to start the show. But you know what? You wear many hats, entrepreneur, author, educator. But who is, and I don't even know if I'm saying your name correctly, who is Hajo when no one is watching? Tell us a little about your upbringing and what shaped your path.
Yes. When nobody's watching like now, it sounds like there's an echo. Is it okay?
Tell me if it's still there.
Hello?
Is it better now?
Quite. It's much better.
Okay.
Okay, great. I'm a mother. I'm a mother of three boys. So I feel myself and I feel very authentic when I speak in terms of being a mother. A mother of three young men in their 20s, a wife married to an Adventist man. So basically, I grew up in Rustenburg. I'm a Zulu girl. Mm. I grew up a Zulu girl, but my mom is Tswana, so I speak both languages. So my real influence, you know, mothers. So I'm more towards understanding Tswana and all that. But my dad is very a Zulu, so I grew up with those two, like, you know, ethnicity. So I identify with Zulu people and also with Botswana in Rustenburg. When I went to university, actually, I ended up in KZN, and that's where I really wanted to pick up the Zulu, because growing up with Botswana, it was very difficult to actually get to speak Zulu. I think because I've got a chance to study all over the world, I really feel so South African, because it's only when you get to get out of the country that you realize that, you know, it's actually cool to be a South African.
Yes.
And so I am that girl. Yes.
Tell me why it was so important for you to emphasize that you married an Adventist man.
Nobody's ever asked me that question. Thank you for asking me. And I think I should say it before it's too late.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be writing stories, you know, and talk about my husband when he's not there. Mm. I think I'm married to one of the finest gentlemen.
Oh, come through.
Yes. I've got the finest pick. So it's important for me because I just feel that as a woman, especially with everything that you've said about me, there's one thing that I believe God did very well.
Mm.
That we all have different roles. So I talk about an Adventist man because I've got a priest in the house.
Mm.
I've got somebody who's always praying for me. So when I look at my husband, I just see protection, security, provision. So a man of God, you know, a man after God's own heart.
Mm.
So that's my husband, Lesiba Morallane.
That is so beautiful. That is so, so beautiful. We're here to talk about Hefro. Am I saying that correctly?
You know what? I was laughing at you because I was thinking sometimes I don't even know myself. It's Hefro or Hefro. Because I was just coming up with the name.
Yeah.
Basically, when I decided to go into this movement and in this business, which was a doctoral project, I had to come up with a name.
Mm.
And I did some research. And I struggled and struggled because it's very difficult to find names because all the names are gone.
Mm.
Yes. So I decided because I was going to focus on Afro hair.
Mm.
So Hefro is a combination of my first letter of the Hajo and Afro. That's why it's called Hefro.
Got it.
I would like to believe, because there's no word like that.
Mm.
I would like to believe that if you say Afro and you put an H, then you can say Hefro.
Yes.
Not Hefro. No, Hefro.
Afro. Afro with an Afro. H.
Yes, yes, yes.
And tell us, you just said that this was your doctoral project. What was the moment that's the spark that birthed this beautiful brand of yours?
So you know what? I just need to mention this, that I'm a lifelong student.
Yeah.
I'm a scholar. I think my husband always reminds me that I've got 7 or 8 degrees. I don't know. But anyway, the long and short of it is that for a long time, I really wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Mm.
And because I don't have that background from home, both my parents were educators and teachers, and hence the many degrees that I have, because they always instilled their love of reading and writing and education. So I literally, I think I was in my mid-20s when I went to the U.S. I got a scholarship to go and study there. And that's when, you know, Bumi, I saw this movement of entrepreneurship.
Mm.
And when you are there, when you're doing your master's degree in the U.S., you meet up with so many students from all over the world, because kind of people tend to gravitate towards America.
For sure.
Yes. And then in those lecture halls, all you get to hear literally are business plans.
Hmm.
So you get Chinese students going to America to study, but they've got something literally that they're looking for.
Hmm.
They know that if they get to the US, they will meet people from different countries. So unlike what we do in Africa, like I just want to be a doctor or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're always on a mission.
Wow.
So they go there with the business plans, and then they literally, when they're asking questions in the lecture halls, it's about those plans.
Mm.
So I found myself in the middle of this, but I didn't know what to do because I was not brought up that way.
No.
The education system in South Africa does not encourage us to think about starting our own business.
100%.
Yes.
It feeds us into the corporate system.
Yes, yes. And that is why I think my MBA, I've got an MBA.
Mm.
My MBA literally helped me to just continue rising up the ranks in corporate.
Mm.
And it did not help me with the mindset of an entrepreneur.
That's so interesting.
So later on, after doing, and I tried the MBA, it didn't help me with really training me up to become a businesswoman.
Mm.
And I did a master's in science. I've got 3 master's degrees.
Oh,
yes,
I will be easy.
No, don't worry. It's like chewing a gum, you know.
I love this.
In fact, I was saying to someone, had I known about actuarial studies, I could have been an actuary.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because I literally get fascinated when I hear people saying something is difficult and I want to do it.
Mm.
So anyway, after a while, I realized, it looks like I'm stuck in corporate. But then I spoke to a professor who told me about a PhD in entrepreneurship.
Mm.
And it's when I was doing that PhD in Bumi that something just clicked and it switched on. And I realized, no, MBA does not teach you how to start. MBA teaches you how to manage.
Wow.
Right? It teaches you how to manage somebody else's business. That's MBA, business administration. You become a master of administration in business. And entrepreneurship, from day one, there is nothing about HR. There is nothing about sick leave and all those benefits. There are no benefits.
Yeah.
From day one, they teach you about how to identify a business opportunity. And that is the fundamental difference between MBA and entrepreneurship. Because with entrepreneurship, they say, what problem do you have?
Yep.
It's number one question. So imagine yourself going to Clicks to Dis-Chem and you're looking for this thing that your friend told you about, but you can't get it, or you've seen it when you're traveling overseas, you can't get it. Entrepreneurship says there is a need and a demand for that thing that you're looking for.
Yep.
But somebody needs to fulfill that need. The question is it going to be Hajo or Umi or waiting for Jack Ma from China?
And I'm so happy you went there, because that was literally going to be my next question, right? That what is the gap that you saw in the market that made you say, actually, I must be the one to fill it?
You know what? I was in this PhD in entrepreneurship program. And guess what? And this is the typical South African version. I'm there, but I've never tried business. I've never tried it, and I see myself as PhD in entrepreneurship. And already there was a problem, misalignment. When you finish and you become a doctor, you are a doctor in what? Because you've never even tried it. So anyway, we had this course called Opportunity Recognition. And we had to do an assignment, and that was a bridging course before I could be accepted into a doctoral program. And the question was, what is it that you're struggling with? Go and try to find a solution. And that's when I then I came home and I thought about many things. Amongst them, like, if you read my book, you will hear about how I tried to start a soccer club. Because as an Adventist, it's very difficult for our boys to play soccer professionally. Because it's mostly played on a Sabbath. So I tried to fill that gap by starting a soccer club, and I did. But after a while, it didn't. And the book talks about the failures that I had. But when it came to my own natural hair, I had been to Ghana to visit, and I was gifted with raw shea butter. And then when I came back home, because they told me about the benefits of using it on your skin, on your hair. I got to the kitchen and I started concocting, playing around. And you know what? From those many experiments, I was able to come up with my first product, which was just literally packaging that raw shea butter, putting a little bit of essential oil. And I tried to sell that one product. And South Africa didn't take, it didn't really take off nicely, because people didn't understand what was raw shea butter.
Oh, for sure. Also, yes. Maybe the natural hair care movement wasn't that big back then.
And also this thing that you, it's, when you get to West Africa, raw shea butter is like that.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. When you come to South Africa, they ask you good in Tony Leo, because they don't know it.
We don't. You know, we just know dark and lovely. Even the word essential oil, it's like, what is that?
What is that?
Yeah.
And you know why? Because we just so Americanized. And that's why most people from other parts of Africa, they cannot understand how sophisticated or complex we are, because we've literally moved to the extreme end of using all these synthetic and natural products. So anyway, I get this raw shea butter, I come home, I play around in the kitchen, and I start trying to do business out of that. It moves, but very slow. It moves very slow because people don't know what it is. Until I remembered what I was taught in my program, that you must always try to pivot. You must also always try to understand what the problem is and try to solve it. And guess what changed everything?
What did?
the day I removed the label called Raw Shea Butter.
Okay.
And I put the new label called Hair Food.
Oh.
Because hair food is like this big word.
For sure.
I literally went to the bank to open a bank account because of hair food. The very same product.
Same thing.
Same thing with a different name. And that's entrepreneurship, by the way.
It's interesting. I'm thinking about Shakespeare's line, what's in a name? That which exactly. We call a rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. Mm-hmm. No, sir. There's a lot in a name.
There's a lot in the name.
Yeah.
And even the people that said, I'm not interested, the minute was, how can you have food? Can you have food? It moved. It moved. And from one little, that one product called hair food, I received different calls. People say, oh, I believe you're selling hair products. Do you have shampoo? Do you have conditioner? And that's how the range actually grew. And you know, Pumi, that's another thing that's very interesting. They say, stop being in your mind or in your house trying to perfect your business plan.
Yeah, what do the people want?
Get out, go to the market. Mm. The market will tell you what to do next.
100%.
The lady who called asking for shampoo and conditioner literally forced me to get into the next product.
Mm.
And from shampoo and conditioner, I remember there was a salon that thought I was really big and they ordered deep treatment.
Mm.
And I didn't have it.
Sure.
I went to literally manufacture deep treatment. So the long and short of the story is with entrepreneurship, and I hope the listeners will remember this.
Mm.
There is no such thing as a perfect business plan.
Yeah.
The market will tell you what should be in your business plan.
Mm.
I started with hair food. I wasn't ready to go the shampoo and conditioner route. Somebody called, and I then came up with those two.
Mm.
The fourth product was deep treatment, and it's because someone from the salon said, ma'am, I would like to order deep treatment. So by the time I gathered confidence, there was a small movement of customers actually asking for products.
Yeah.
So the one lesson, Bumi, that we need to all remember. The market will tell you.
Mm.
So that is why you see most of your TikTok, social media, they keep on saying, start now.
Mm.
Start today. Because you will never be able to fulfill that need until the market tells you what they want.
100%.
So if you come up with a product that's in your head that you like for yourself,
nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah, nobody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
And remember, you must always provide value.
Mm.
So the definition of entrepreneurship is solve a problem. So I had a problem with my natural hair. I've got very sensitive scalp. So every time I try to do a relaxer, I would have like issues with burning scalp and all that. So when I came up with the natural products made with natural ingredients, I was dealing with my own sensitive scalp. But guess what? That was long before we saw this hairline problem. But the one thing that you also need from the market is the market to tell you, do we have problems like you or not? Because remember, I'm not going to sell to myself.
No.
Yes, it's my problem, but I need to establish if there are more people with a similar or same problem.
And what they're saying about it. And I think the testament to that is the hair food versus raw shea butter, right? Because it's the same thing, but you're not talking in the language that the customers understand. And up until you do, things don't move.
And you 100%. So I went to the UK. I got a postdoctoral fellowship. So when I was in the UK, in London actually,
in London,
I met so many West African women. Beautiful skin.
Yes. Long hair. Yes.
And guess what? They're not using all these fancy brands that we use that are so expensive.
It's just the oils and the butters.
They love their raw shea butter.
Yeah.
And in London, actually, I was big in London without even realizing it because people could relate.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to your point of saying, what's in the name? What's in the brand?
Mm.
Because they know raw shea butter and what it does. When I was in London, it just literally moved. It was actually sprinting. The business was sprinting, but I was there only for a short time. So when I came back to South Africa, I was surprised. Why is it not moving as fast as it was moving? It, until I changed and called it Hair Food, and it started moving. And you know what made it even more credible? Mm-hmm. It's because there was a black woman behind it.
Yes.
Which is also a difference, because you can find this this beautiful product, but because we've been bruised and abused and taken for granted, a lot of people are saying, if Dr. Hajo can use this product, then I can use it. So that's another advantage about us being Africans. And I think we need to learn that it's about time that we start our own businesses, because people can relate. I'm just the girl next to you. I'm an Adventist woman.
Yeah. And you know what you're saying reminds me of, you're in the hair care business, the natural hair care business. And so I'm pretty sure you will know this lady, the founder of Carol's Daughter.
Yes.
You know the story of when she sold her brand to L'Oreal, right? A lot of black women were so frustrated. Like, you're selling out, you're selling out. And now she's taking back ownership of the brand. And when people heard that announcement, they were just like, thank God, because they just didn't understand us. The products were thinner. They weren't giving us the same richness and the same results. Thank you so much. And so what you're saying makes so much sense, to say it matters who's behind the brand. It matters who's doing the work, because if a Stacy with thin bone, straight hair was telling me about Hair Food for my coarse African hair, I can't relate. What are you selling me? And for the longest time, that sort of marketing worked. And maybe that's why we started detesting our own hair, started using these relaxers, because firstly, there was nobody speaking to us, and South Africans, because in Africa, they always got it right. Nobody speaking to us about what our hair needs, actually understanding the different textures, the different types of our coils, and all of those things. And so it's really important who's behind the brand. And I want to ask you a question quickly about changing the label, right? One would say what that presented was an opportunity to actually educate your customers, educate black women on what shea butter is, why our hair needs it. Don't you feel like changing the label was a shortcut versus educating your customers?
Oh, good question. I'm a businesswoman, right?
We'll educate after the money is in.
you've got to strike the balance. Remember, when I say I'm a businesswoman, is that you always have to do that, because most of us, especially as Christians, we're very apologetic
so much
about what we are all about. Yeah. I remember I was invited at Mooikloof SDA Church, and I spent 5-10 minutes trying to explain why God wants us to be wealthy.
Mm.
Because it's like we're okay to struggle.
We glorify struggle.
No. I've studied entrepreneurship. I'm a businesswoman. Mm. I'm in it for value.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, you've got, and you know, people need to understand, when I was changing the labels and stuff, is that it's, you know, the alternative to what I did was to actually fold my arms and say, I submit. That's why people quit. They quit because you're just thinking, they're not buying, 100%. They don't like me. But then you're realizing that I've got to do this. The good thing about that strategy is that what was inside the bottle was still the same.
Yeah,
I like the example you've just given me about how I've had one or two calls of big brands who are interested in kind of enticing me into selling the brand. But that came very early on, before I even knew what I was doing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you know what they do? When they come and say, I want to buy Hafro and I give you 1 billion, because really the money is going to drive you crazy and you're going to end up selling.
Oh, for sure.
Yes, but they do it differently. They go back to what you've asked me. They will not change the name.
Mm.
They will deal with the inside.
Mm.
So they will actually mess up with the formula.
Yes.
So instead of that product being 100 rands, then it will end up, they will actually lower the price.
Mm.
And because we like cheap, we're always negotiating. Yes. So you're going to buy it. So when big multinationals come to you and say, Dr. Hajo, I would like to invest in your brand, or can I take it? One thing that I know for sure, And we've seen it with the likes of Black Like Me and whatever. Mm. They take it, but then you must know that in the lab, in the research lab, something goes on. Why? They are business people.
Mm.
They're not into this thing of Dr. Hajo
selling at a loss
because my heart is in the right place. Yes. Business is about profit.
Mm.
So that is why you will hear people saying, but the Hafra used to be good. And it's because, no, Dr. Hajo got the money, sold it to someone, and that guy is a businessman. He's not interested because he's not using this product for himself.
Yeah.
So he's going to put a little bit of something to dilute it.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of making 100,000 per month, he's going to make 200 because you put something in it to make more.
Mm.
And that's business.
How did you fund the next batch or the next set of products? Because I know initially how you started out was with that gift, right, of the raw shea butter. But for the shampoo and the deep treatments, how did that funding go?
I've bootstrapped. I like the word funding. Funding means where did I get the money?
Yes.
No, bootstrapping, Sissy.
Bootstrap came from your own efforts.
It came from my own efforts.
Yeah.
To the extent that at some point, there was a family meeting and my family was saying,
it's enough now.
So I bootstrapped for a while. I was in the kitchen, but then I got advice to get out of the kitchen.
Mm.
And I must actually mention that the Department of Trade and Industry, DTI, they actually discovered me and they thought I was huge because I've always been very professional and I invest a lot in the look and the, you know, everything looks like it could be in New York somewhere. Yes, because I'm really into that. So when DTI came, I thought they were going to give me money.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that they did, which I didn't have, they actually pointed me to the right places to say, get out of the kitchen, go and get a formulator. Make sure that your products are formulated properly and they are tested and be ready to export them because South Africa is looking for opportunities to showcase talent and what we are all about. So I was kind of in an incubation with them for something like 3 years. And basically what they do there, they teach you all those things you're asking me. This is because remember, I used to go to Dis-Chem to go buy these things.
Of course.
But then they literally give you the education that even PhD doesn't give you to say, if you're going to manufacture, you can't buy where, you know, Lwazi is buying, where Mpumi is buying. So you need to be registered so that you can buy wholesale. So I think the biggest advantage of being in that program is that I got to know where to go, where I could now start competing. Because otherwise, if you go to Dis-Chem will sell you coconut oil. For a premium price because you are an end user.
For sure.
So I learned very early on how to behave like a big company.
Mm.
So register with SARS, register with export, register with us. And when you've got all those certificates, then you can go buy where you cannot go buy because I buy there because I'm a big company already.
Yeah.
So that's how I was able to grow and get into other because even though I didn't have the money, but I could actually save on, cost of production.
Yes. Oh, man, you are so multifaceted. I'm just like, do we need 3 different episodes for Aptic alone and the book alone? So I'll try in these last 15 minutes to cover everything else. And with that, you're also the founder of Aptic, a training platform for entrepreneurs. I'd love to hear from you. Why did you feel that this was needed? And what kind of entrepreneurs are you hoping to raise through it?
So you know what? The good thing is that I'm into... Again, thanks to my education, when you diversify, when you want to explore other business opportunities, you must make sure that they are strategically aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only one person who's running all those businesses.
Yeah.
So Aptic is literally the real story behind Hafra.
Mm.
So what I was that entrepreneur that benefited from Aptic. So Aptic is actually an offshoot of my PhD.
Mm. Oh,
so
I
when
love
I was
that
doing
so
my
much.
PhD towards the end, when they were analyzing my data, they discovered that there was a phenomenon that was coming out of that data. Mm. I had about 3,200 entrepreneurs who responded to my survey.
Sure, okay.
Yes, it's a huge sample by any standard, because for a doctoral program, 500 is okay, but mine got to about 3,200.
That is wild. Mm.
And because of that rich sample size, I was able to come up with a thing that, you know, an instrument that can actually assess and test your readiness for entrepreneurship.
Mm.
So, you know, these assessments, like when you go for
yes,
jobs and stuff,
yes,
and you have to go into like psychometric assessment.
Yes.
So your Dr. Hajo has an instrument like that.
I love that. I love that.
Yes. And I actually, it was, by the way, it comes from God. I don't know what happened.
Mm.
My the statistician literally called me in and said, Dr. Hajo, do you realize what's happening with your study?
Mm.
We see a pattern here. You can actually come up with a testing tool that can assist entrepreneurs, because you would know, everybody thinks they can be literally everyone who's whatever is thinking in the morning, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. But the assessment tool says, before you even start, go and do this questionnaire. It's about 15 minutes.
Mm.
You do it and it gives you literally a profile that you would even, it's so accurate, it's not funny.
Mm.
In my case, when I did that assessment, when I did that survey, the results showed that I'm a very good starter.
Let's go.
So I'm able to identify opportunities. Mm. I'm able to start. But guess what? My biggest weakness is management.
Oh, even with an MBA?
Yeah, no, I can't. So I'm restless. I think now I'm a Christian. I used to follow stars. I'm a Gemini.
Yeah.
So I've got double personality. So I start something today, and I get bored easily.
Mm.
So my test, which was so accurate, showed that I will always identify opportunities. I'll always be able to start.
Follow through.
Yes, I'm not the right person to take the company to the next level.
Wow.
So I'm kind of your turnaround strategist.
Mm.
When you're struggling in your business, call me. Mm. But I must hire an MBA to work
to actually manage it.
So Eptic is about that. Eptic is four pillars. The first pillar is, before you do anything, please do your assessment.
Mm.
So if people sit down, they do assessment, and after 15 minutes, it turns out the results. And of course, there's normally red flags everywhere.
Mm.
Because we think we can do it all, but the survey shows you that you need to actually do something more to help you. So let me talk about myself, because I'm the first person to use that.
Yeah.
So then it showed that no, you can come up with many ideas. You can start. Most people struggle with starting. I identify as start.
Mm.
But then when it comes to growing businesses, I get bored. But then fortunately for me, the second part of literally growing and managing, right here at home, my Adventist friend, my Adventist man, he's an accountant, deep accountant, like big deal.
Mm.
So he's very good at doing those things that get us all in trouble with business and in family life.
Mm.
Money.
Yeah.
So you need to get a very strong manager, an MBA with deep finance to manage your business, then you will see growth.
Mm.
So after that, if I didn't have my husband to help me, I would have gone out to look for someone.
Mm.
That is very important. But now what do you find entrepreneurs doing? They try to do it all.
Mm. 100%.
And they become master of none.
And maybe in the beginning, it's because we're also bootstrapping, right? We don't have the means to maybe go to an agency in the beginning, I get it.
But let me tell you what's happening in the beginning. This is what I did. Not even once did I pay huge amounts. I had a lot of young people volunteering to help me.
Yeah.
And yes, I like my Ide and Neos. I've got them. When you have time next time, I'll tell you about how it happened.
Mm.
I was the one incident. I was invited to talk to women, like APSA women in business.
Mm.
APSA invited me on a roadshow.
Yeah.
And when I was delivering this big presentation and stuff, people thought I was huge. Mm. And then I had a lot of people coming to me asking for jobs. Mm. So I remember this young woman who came to me and says, Dr. Haji, can I be your brand ambassador?
Mm.
And then I'm thinking, no, you don't know. I'm still in the kitchen. There's no brand to ambassador anything.
Yeah.
And then she pleaded with me. She said, I've been unemployed for 3 years and I've got this degree in marketing and communication. Mm. Please, Dr. Haji, I've got beautiful natural hair. And you know what I said?
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow send me your pictures and tell me what is a brand ambassador and do it.
Mm.
And I don't have money to pay you, so what are you going to do? And she said, no, it's fine. You must go. Next time you must ask me where my eater is, you will be shocked. I can't even talk to her because she's a high flyer. Mm. What did she do differently?
She value. Approached me. She led with value. Said, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that is what I'm saying. She did what I didn't realize was going to help, which is brand ambassador, beautiful hair. She's still the face of Hafro. Mm. And that's what I'm saying. If we only understand what it takes to be successful, it has nothing to do with money.
Yeah.
Your brain. Mm. And there are so many people who are unemployed. Do you know that even my books, everybody who's working with us, look at all my brand, graphic design work. Guess who are those people?
Mm.
The guy who came up with the logo of Hafro, you must go look at it. That guy was coming fresh, straight from TUT.
Mm.
And he said to me, Mama Hajo, I promise I can do this thing for you.
Yeah.
And I said, do it. That is still the logo that we have. And I think, if anything, we paid Tebalelo 2,000 rand.
Mm.
Because he was trying himself out. And guess where Tebalelo is? You can't even talk to him today.
Mm.
The guy who did all the pictures and the videos had a camera that was always messing up. And I was always screaming at him. And guess what he would say? Kikupa, one more chance, mama. One more chance. Today, I can't talk to Neo because Neo is working big time for big multinationals.
Mm.
But those examples are young people who were unemployed, who said to me, I can show you what I went to do.
Yeah.
Give me a chance. I want to build my own profile.
Yeah.
But what is the problem today, Mpumi, is that young people already want to start as big time senior managers.
Oh, please, don't waste my time. I need 30K. Fresh out of school.
I've got about 12 young people that I can show you that started working with us. And I would scream and say, why did you spell this word incorrectly? Please go check. And you must always make sure that today you cannot touch them. And that is the beauty of us starting to say, charity begins at home.
Mm.
But if you come to me and you say, Dr. Haji, I'm sorry, I need 30,000 per hour, I won't afford you because I'm also starting out.
Yes. Yeah.
So bootstrapping was real, but I'm saying one lesson here, Mpumi, that I'm saying that we don't need to have a full-time accountant, a chartered accountant. You don't need. And by the way, there are also chartered accountants who will come to you and say, Mama Kikupa Untuse, I will do your books.
Yeah, because they're also building a profile.
Yeah, they want to build a profile. Mm. And all the big people we see today, including me, Dr. Hajo, I started in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And everybody started somewhere. You know, the singers, but Beyonce, they will tell you, I used to sing at church.
Mm.
But we don't want to do that. People think people started right there.
Mm.
Big places. So even with entrepreneurship, bootstrapping is real. But I can tell you now, Mpumi, even after this interview, check how many young people you can work with, who all they need if it is to have a chance to build their profiles. Mm.
You know, what you're saying is so real. I remember when I was starting my business a couple of years ago, maybe in the first year of business, a girl I went to vids with actually reached out to me and said, hey, Mpumi, I'm starting out as a marketer and I'm in this course. And in the course, they want us to identify a business that we can help. That girl offered me marketing services for free. And it paid off. To this day, her and I are friends. We're already dreaming about the big things that we can do together, because while she was building her body of work, I was being helped in something. I'm not a marketer. That's not my area of expertise. So it's so important to collaborate. I think that's the biggest thing I'm hearing from this, collaboration. Because sure, you need the service, but they need the service too. And at some point, if the job is done right and the results are there, there is absolutely no reason why that thing can catapult into something that both the parties could never have imagined.
And Mpumbe, you know, you said it so well. And we must stop this thing that because this is my cousin, this is my sister, this is somebody from church, we don't trust each other. You must go read. And you know this book called Bible Secrets, Business Secrets from the Bible, mm-hmm. written by a Jewish rabbi. Mm-hmm. He talks about how Jewish people support each other.
Yeah.
And we, I cannot talk to anybody from church and say, please come and work for me, because the parents might be upset that
cheap labor. Yeah.
And that's where the opportunities are lost. And you know what is the craziest thing? I've got three boys. I don't have girls in this house. But the movement of natural hair took off. I mean, at some point, somebody asked me, how did you do it? Because you don't have girls in the house. And you know what is the attitude to the brain? I don't need to have a girl here to do
it. The boys have hair too.
Yes, and of course I've got handsome boys, so the girls just come. but the thing is, I like the word you use, which is collaboration. We need to collaborate.
Yeah.
After this interview, I'm hoping that somebody who's sitting at home, who's unemployed, will reach out and say, Mpumi, where can I get hold of Dr. Hajo? Because I want to try this thing. I've studied this, and I looked. Somebody said to me the other day, Dr. Hajo, I think I can help you with your social media. I said, what's wrong with my social media? Because it's going well. Says, no, there's something else that I can do. And I like those people.
Yeah.
People who say, I can do something to help you. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that more often. Mm-hmm. It's an Adventist radio station tonight. This, I know, I don't know what the real mission is, but I think, Bongi, you're trying to empower us. You're saying to ourselves, It's Wednesday evening.
Yep.
I know some people are doing whatever, but invest in yourself. And I could have sat there and said, I didn't study, formulations and whatever. Do you know what I did, by the way, when I realized that I was struggling with formulation and then that one day my brand was going to be big and I don't want people taking advantage of me, putting some wrong ingredients in my products, I registered for a formulation course. And I got that course from London, and it was very expensive. But guess what it has done? I'm sure you'll see it when you get on my website. There is not even a single person in the industry who comes to me and tries literally to take a chance on me. Because when you look at Dr. Hajo, there's one thing that they all understand. She is a formulator.
Yeah.
So I will ask you, why did you put a wrong ingredient in here? And it's very important because we don't empower ourselves. If you want to become a big deal in something, and you know what? I'm not a fan of, I don't really follow Beyonce or whatever, but lately, I don't know, I got to see this, what is there's a big show that she's all about.
Yeah.
But you know what I appreciate about those people? The number of hours they put in.
Oh, that girl works.
I mean, they work hard.
The show is the tip of the iceberg.
And we can say this is satanic, but guess what I see?
Ethic.
I see hard work.
Yeah.
Passion.
Yeah.
And that is why they have what. When I look at Neymar, because my boys love soccer, I look at Ronaldo. And then I literally, every single time I look at that guy, COVID or no COVID, even when we had COVID, that guy was literally practicing. Putting in the hours, and we get surprised why he scores all the time because he's investing, he's empowering himself.
Yeah.
Now, if I am an entrepreneur, I'm Dr. Hajo, I cannot be comfortable that I can make shampoo. The question is, once I hire people who are experts to come and work for me, as a formulator, a qualified formulator, when I speak to them, they know that this woman knows her story. It was a very difficult course that I had to do. I literally did it and I wasn't sure what I was doing. But once I got it, I promise you, I challenge every little thing. Like right now, we're moving into skincare range. We're about to launch the skincare range. We are about to launch the wellness products. You know, your proteins and all that.
Yeah.
I needed to invest in myself so that by the time I sit down with someone who says to me, I can do this, I know what question to ask. Mm. But what I find us doing, Bongi, and very early on, when you start a business, you're already driving your what is this, Range Rover. You're already behaving like a big deal. You know, people said to me, Dr. Haji, why do you have to work so hard? I said, this is my business. I need to understand every little thing. I need to scrub. When I'm in the garage working, when I finish, I mop the floor. Mm. When I do everything to the extent that by the time I hire all these people to come and work for me, nobody's going to take a chance on
me. You know how to get the job done, yeah.
Yes, I know what it takes to actually make a mistake and do this. And I even know which camera lens to use when you're taking proper pictures.
Yeah.
but that's the thing, that we too quick to sit in our high horses and say, hey, and that is why we don't build legacy businesses.
Mm.
You show me any person you know who's built a business that will... My business is 10 years old now.
Mm.
And you know what's my prayer?
Yeah.
I wish one day my great-grandchildren will look back and say, once upon a time, we had a great-grandmother who started Hafro.
Mm.
And because of that, we are beneficiaries. I always, because now we're into direct selling, this is the new vision and mission that I have.
Mm.
I would like to see 1,000 entrepreneurs that would have come out of Hafro.
Mm.
And when we look at that, when we read, you know, that Forbes magazine?
Yep.
We will be showcasing self-made multimillionaires.
Mm.
And all of them will have one thing to say. I started out with nothing.
Oh, man.
Because we can't. You know the story of Tenderpreneurs?
Mm.
It did.
Mm.
Tenderpreneurs was just a bad thing. Because people, that is why a lot of people want shortcuts, because you get a tender today and tomorrow you're driving the car.
Mm-mm.
With entrepreneurship, no chance.
No chance.
10 years later, you must come and see my swimming pool. It's half full because of rainwater.
Yeah.
Because we cannot afford to do anything to it. There is no money.
Mm.
We're putting all the money back in the business.
Mm.
And we want to see self-made millionaires who will stand up and give hope to the hopeless.
Mm.
And say to that one child who's not coming from a family that is connected, that child should say, if Dr. Haju could start in her kitchen, it means I can also start in my kitchen.
Oh, man. You know, the story you want to see, or the picture you want to see, is something that I'd love to see for myself as well. So I need to link up with you. Because I started my business like 5 years ago, and then at some point I was just like, I guess I'm part of the stats of most businesses don't make it past 5 years.
Please, don't give up. Don't give up. I promise you, literally, don't give up.
We'll talk at the end of the show.
To me, yeah. 5 years.
Mm.
Boy, I would do anything for the 5 years.
Oh, man.
Don't give up. I'm telling you, it's about... When they say the sun is about to shine, every entrepreneur that you're going to read about, and please invest in reading, they will tell you just when I was about to give up. And something happened. So every time you face rejection, every time you face ridicule, you know the naysayers, we've got too many of them.
And it's normally the people that aren't doing anything with their lives.
And especially the people that we love.
Mm.
The negative comments come from church.
Mm.
They come from home. The worst one comes from pillow talk. The person that you love so much saying to you, but love.
Come on.
This won't work.
Mm.
Pray that you don't listen to them.
Mm.
Because if that was the truth, we would not have the billionaires that you read about.
This is so true. We would never hear about Madam C.J. Walker, and it sounds like you are the Madam C.J. Yes. Walker of our time.
Yes, and you know how many times I watched that movie?
Yes, self-made. Because I think that's what it's called.
Self-made.
Yes.
She was rejected. She was ridiculed.
Yeah.
The husband did this and that. I am here to say to you, Mpumi, please, for the sake of the many, many women and men that are looking for the example. Mm. People are looking for an example. Please stick it out.
Mm.
And when the going gets rough, remember, even the Bible tells us we were not promised.
This is true.
That it's going to be smooth sailing.
This is true.
But what one thing we know for sure is that victory is guaranteed.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
victory is guaranteed. And in entrepreneurship, if you are not struggling, you are not building something.
You're not doing it right.
If it's smooth sailing, if you've got all the money and you've got everything else, sorry, hear it from me, something is not right.
Mm.
In my book, just because and of the time, in the book, the first chapter, everybody who's read the book, they say, you lie.
Mm.
Are you serious that you lost 1 million?
Mm.
Because there is, I talk about the failures that we went through as a family.
Yeah.
We literally invested 1 million in this one business. We were going to open a CLC shop in Polokwane. And it's a franchise, right? So they give you money and you go and you do your thing.
Mm.
First day, we had this huge opening function ceremony. We have this loan of 1 million from the bank.
Mm.
We got the phones and everything.
Mm.
And we're celebrating. People are excited, the pictures and everything. The very next day, we get a call from Polokwane.
Mm.
Remember, we drove back to Pretoria at night. And the call says that there's been a burglary.
Mm.
Everything that we put in that shop was stolen. The phones and everything. But that's not the real story. That's not the story. Everything was stolen. But listen to this part.
Mm-hmm.
And you must read the book. I'm not going to tell you more. But this is the part.
Okay.
Guess what?
Uh-huh.
We forgot to take the insurance. So
you had to pay back equipment you no longer had.
For 5 years, servicing a loan of that much, and there was nothing to show. So if there's one thing, and I'm smiling even as I'm talking to you, you know why? But that literally almost caused divorce in my marriage.
Of course.
Because I'm like, but what do you mean? What do you mean you didn't sign that thing? What do you mean? And remember, I'm telling you, I'm married to someone who's very meticulous. Attention to detail.
Yes, an accountant. Come on.
Yes. And the papers came. Everything came. But we forgot to sign. The bank wanted the money back.
Of course. They're in business too.
So for the longest time, we were stuck in a tiny townhouse.
Mm.
And I remember a lot of people saying, but are you comfortable in this townhouse? Why are you staying in this townhouse? Mm. And you can't keep on telling them,
no, you
we
can't.
Can't move.
You can't.
We can't. And if people just ask you all these questions, how about Batong Hajo? Is this where you're staying, Batong? Are you serious? And you don't even have enough space and 3 children.
Mm.
And where does the domestic worker sleep? And it is during that time, Pumi, that we were servicing a loan.
Mm.
And we couldn't do anything. And the bank literally didn't care.
Of course.
Yes.
You said you wanted money. We gave it to you. Pay us back.
And in the book, I talk about that. And I'm literally saying to people, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, it's the only way out of poverty. Only way out of being trapped in a job that you don't like, and only way to build a legacy business where you know that when people are saying there's unemployment, at least if you're a parent doing something, you are doing it for your children. And we, you know, the Stellenbosch Mafia, the people we call Stellenbosch Mafia, read all their books. You know, PSG.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In his book, Johnny Morton, if I read that book, and I every time I would read it, I would be so frustrated because he says it doesn't matter what government does.
Mm.
I have built this for my family.
Mm.
I will employ my children and my children's friends. And my literally, they look after their own.
Mm.
And we wait and pray and we send our CVs there. But that guy is clear. He's very clear.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this for my family. He even said, even if my son has a girlfriend, I asked my son, do you want a girlfriend to come and work?
As long let her as, come. Come.
Because I'm making sure that I'm employing my
yes.
own. You know the other thing I've learned from his book? They yeah. don't celebrate birthdays like we do, calling 100 people to come and eat and complain that there was not enough
mm.
food. That money that you are going to use to throw a party for people that are so ungrateful. He says, every time there is a birthday, we give our children shares.
Mm.
So children become shareholders in their companies from an early age.
What better gift than investing in the future of your children? That is so profound. We are 10 minutes over time. And judging from the passion you have, this is not going to end anytime soon until I put a hard stop to it. Andrew on our WhatsApp line sent a message and said, she makes entrepreneurship sound manageable. I enjoy listening to her share. And that is a sentiment.
Oh,
I think that is a sentiment across everybody who's listening, especially for me, who was ready to put down the gloves, the boxing gloves of this entrepreneurship thing. There's so much you said, even from the tool that you developed, because I developed a tool too, like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and
wow.
I'm just like, there's something here. So I'm definitely going to reach out to you, because there's a lot that's I've built a lot of assets in my business that I think if I just walked away and gave up, it would be such a disservice to me and all the people that can be helped because of the people that I have helped in the past. And I just want to say to everybody who's listening, if you heard tonight's conversation and felt a fire rise in your belly, I don't think that was by accident. It was the sound of your own why trying to speak and, you know, trying to break past fear and comparison and perfectionism and doubt. Because what I believe Dr. Hajo did for us tonight is remind us that business is about products for sure, but it's also about people and purpose and power, and also about yourself and the person you get to become at the end of the day. And I think it's also an opportunity to build from the soul and create something the world didn't even know it needed, you know, until you showed up. So Dr. Hajo, thank you so much for being a crown bearer, for being a truth teller, because you didn't have to tell us about that 1 million, but you told us anyway. And so many facts and so many gems in this little time that we got to have right now. And thank you for being a builder of things that matter to Black girls and Black women all across the world, but that matter to entrepreneurs too, because so much work and sweat and blood and identity goes into something like a business. And when it doesn't work out, it leaves you wondering if you were ever worth it, if you heard God wrong, or if you've got if you lack something that other people who make it in the space actually have to make things work. So thank you for the gift that you were tonight. I really, really appreciate having had this conversation with you.
Thank you so much, Mpumi. There's a book that I want you to read so that you don't disappoint me and give up.
It's yeah.
The Slide Edge.
Yeah.
It's called The Slide Edge.
Oh,
by,
I think I downloaded it on Audible.
Please, read
okay.
that book.
Okay.
The Slide Edge.
And I'll read your book too.
I've enjoyed myself. I love you.
Love you too. Let me sign out and release people because you held us all at hostage.
Thank you.
Have a lovely evening.
Okay.
Bye. Cheers. And with that, I am Nompumelelo Lombonani, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now. And I'm so sorry for stealing your time, but I hope you had a good time. See you tomorrow. Cheers.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.